Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. It is Jordan Hamm filling in for Mr. Brad Sesmat here on the Brad Sesmat Show. Sports360AZ.com. We have a TV show on Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sesmat's Football AZ. Make sure to check that one out. Have a lot on this episode. This week's episode, Peter King, Tim Brando, Michael Fabiano, AZ Audibles with Ralph and Chili from Arizona Varsity. And we also chop it up on the recruiting front in the recruiting roundup. So a lot to get to on that episode, a lot to get to on this episode of the Brad Sesmat Show. And look, this today is an open canvas. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. Talk some D-backs, ASU, U of A, the Cardinals. Also get into a certain Mike Leach soundbite that's been making the rounds on social media regarding who would win in a fight among Pac-12 mascots. I would just want to sit in on one of these Mike Leach press conferences and just see, because there are I've sat in on a lot of college coach press conferences over the years, and you'll get the curveball question every now and then, but it seems like every week it's almost like, all right, let's talk about the game, and then you have 5 minutes to ask Mike Leach whatever you want, and man, it goes some weird places. So we're gonna play that video in a little bit and kind of break that down as well. So, again, a lot to get to. Let's just jump right into it. Our rundown brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. On the Diamondbacks front, another loss for them, 12-6 to the Marlins. And really, it was just a bullpen implosion. I don't know if there's a better way to put it than that right now. We've seen some rough outings for the bullpen this year. And again, coming into this year, I felt like the team's strength, the area where I had the least questions, was the bullpen. And this has been, I think, the weakest part of that team right now. We've seen some people step up and pitch pretty well down the stretch. Archie Bradley has salvaged a very rough first half to become the team's closer and do a pretty darn good job. And during that streak where the Diamondbacks were just winning games left and right, really the only losses that would pop up was the nights Archie Bradley wasn't available because he was pitching so much and pitching so effectively. Kevin Ginkle's another guy I think has come right in to the bullpen, and I think he could be a closer option next year. That's something Pedro Gomez floated the idea to me when we talked to him a couple of weeks ago. And I think that he fits that mold absolutely. You know, it'll be interesting to see moving forward how this bullpen shifts. I think that's going to be an area that Mike Hazen is going to try to address. And I'm sure there are certain arms they're going to try to bring up in-house, but also some key additions as well. But where is that closer spot going to go to? Could you go the more modern baseball and just kind of do closer by committee? If you have three dudes in the back end of that bullpen, can you just kind of play it off, you know, depending on the night? It seems like that Torrey Lovello is kind of more of the structured, he likes the roles with obviously some flexibility in there because things will pop up. But I get the sense that he wants to have a guy in the ninth inning and a couple fallback options if that person is unavailable. But definitely interesting looking ahead to that. But just on last night's game, Alex Young, I thought, pitched a very effective five innings, giving up two runs, got out of some tough spots, and has overall really pitched well. Matt Andrees entering tonight, entering last night. This is a tweet from Zach Buchanan. Matt Andrees entering tonight, last night, with a 1.47 ERA in his last 18 and a third innings, which stretches back to when he came off the injured list in early August. That promptly after that, he gave up three runs. And then later in the game, it just didn't stop, whether it was Jimmy Scherfey, Taylor Clark gave up multiple runs, and John Duplantier closed it out, giving up no runs in one inning. But overall, the bullpen gave up 10 earned runs last night. Alex Young, five innings, gave up two runs. Only one of them was earned. Got in a little bit of trouble with the walks with four, but also struck out four. I'm interested to see where Alex Young fits into the future with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Because this was a guy that was a second-round pick in 2015, the Dansby Swanson year, a proven arm out of TCU, and then really kind of just, we didn't hear much about him in the minor leagues. And when he got called up this year to make really an emergency start because there were so many injuries to the rotation, he came in and was really great off the bat, had a couple of rough outings here and there, but overall a 3.27 ERA. Now, you're usually going to chalk him up for about in the ballpark of five innings, maybe a little bit more. You know, if he's effective, you'll catch the occasional 3 1/3 start, 4 1/3. What his previous start prior to that was 2 2/3. He gave up six runs, but only one of them was earned. But the start prior to that on September 7th against Cincinnati, he went eight, struck out 12. Now, I know they're really trying to limit his pitch count because they've been in a bit of a limbo. Because he had been a starter for quite a while. They started in the minor leagues kind of working him in the bullpen, seeing how his role might be with that, maybe his future is with that. And then all of a sudden he's thrust in the major leagues and is pretty darn effective as a major league starter. Now, I think moving forward in the upcoming years, yeah, they're going to want to try to stretch him so he can hit that 6-7 inning mark. And they have had a pretty tight leash on him when it comes to pitch count. But I think that you can kind of chalk him up. An effective Alex Young start would be, you know, six innings pitched, two earned runs. You walk a couple guys, you strike out, you know, a couple guys. I thought last night's start was a good kind of microcosm of how his year has gone so far. Had to work out of some tough situations, but overall felt in control. And when you look at the Diamondbacks rotation moving forward, again, Robbie Ray, his contract moving forward, we'll see what happens with that if he's a trade target in the offseason. But Robbie Ray, Merrill Kelly, Alex Young, Mike Leake, Zach Gallen, that's where the rotation is right now. I feel pretty good about where that rotation is, especially when you think Luke Weaver could be back and effective. News came out that Torey Lovello thinks that Luke Weaver will make an appearance on the road on this upcoming road trip. So that will be telling to see kind of where Luke is, because he was so good early on in that year before he went down to injury. Taijuan Walker, I think everyone anticipated by now he would be back and close to where he was in 2017 and early 2018. Because you saw those steps. You had always heard when the Diamondbacks traded for him, he was that top prospect for the Mariners, but he had been that top prospect for a couple of years, and there was just he couldn't quite break through to be that effective starter. We saw that in 2017. We saw that in the start of 2018. Then all of a sudden, you know, he goes down to injury, things get pushed back a couple of times. You never know how guys are going to react with these injuries and how they're going to come back, especially when he's been away from the team for essentially two full seasons now. Not away from the team, but away from major league competition. But he's working his way back. So this rotation, there are certainly, I think there's a lot of stability. We'll see where the Diamondbacks address that moving forward. If Robbie Ray is going to be that one, are they going to go out and try to get another one? Or is it going to be more of, hey, we just have three rock solid guys, a couple of young guys on the back end of that rotation. You know, Mike Leake's a veteran who has had a very effective career and is pitching very well now for the Diamondbacks after a rough start with the club. So that's just something I think you need to keep an eye on with this offseason. Diamondbacks are hoping for a couple of teams to fall consistently over the next, 2 weeks to make some magical run to the wild card. I think they're too far out at this point. They had a great run at the beginning of the month, and then just kind of things fell apart a little bit. And I think that might be just, at least on the offensive side of the ball, I was looking at some numbers. I think just some of these young players in expanded roles for the first time in their careers are just kind of hitting that major league wall. Because the minor league season isn't as long as the major league season. The college season really isn't as long as the major league season. You know, it's done halfway through pretty much. But when you look at some of these numbers from the guys who had these expanded roles, Christian Walker hitting 182 over his last 15 games. Nick Ahmed battling an injury but hitting 150. Josh Rojas hitting 217, had a couple of big hits last night. Carson Kelly hitting 103. Tim LaCastro hitting 1 for 11 in his last 15 games. These are some guys that I think have played more baseball in a year, in a given year, at the highest level possible. And they just might be hitting that quote-unquote rookie wall or young player wall. And that I think that when you look at the offensive struggles the past couple of weeks, I think you can at least put part of that on hitting that wall. Now, there are obviously a lot of players are struggling currently, and you know, it seems like each game there's one piece of the puzzle that isn't quite fitting right now. But when I was looking at those numbers, that was kind of telling for especially a lot of these young guys that, you know, they just might be hitting that wall, need that refresh. They're going to learn from it, grow moving forward. So coming up next, we're going to be talking some ASU football. Obviously been in the headlines with that big win over Michigan State last week. They are back home kicking off Pac-12 play against the Colorado Buffaloes. We'll talk about that coming up next on the Brad Sussman Show. College football season is upon us, and the Pac-12 season is upon us as well. ASU going to kick off their Pac-12 play against Colorado, coming off that big win against Michigan State. Just wanted to share some numbers with you on the defense, coming from Jeremy Hawks of ASU Athletics. This was the Michigan State, the lowest scoring output for the Spartans against a non-conference opponent in the regular season since being shut out 14-0 by Boston College in 1992. A couple more here. The 21 points allowed through three games are the fewest the Sun Devils have given up in a three-game stretch since 1993, when they allowed 20, and only the 1985 team had 12 combined points allowed less in the first three games. So that should tell you defense is playing pretty well right now. It's going to be interesting to see how this team does against Colorado. Because right now, when you look at Colorado, 2-1, coming off a loss to Air Force, an overtime loss. The previous week, they had an overtime win against Nebraska. So they've been in close games. And you could say, all right, they're this close to being 1-2 on the year, kind of beat up, but they're not right now. This also tells me they've played a lot of close games, as have the Sun Devils. In the last 2 weeks, they've played some pretty close games. But it's just going to be interesting to see just how this ASU team responds with so many young freshmen. Are they feeling like, all right, they're the bad boys on campus right now. They're just going to walk in, take care of business against Colorado. And then it could be a bit of a letdown. I personally don't think that is going to be the reaction. I don't think they're going to play. They're going to play down to the competition or play flat or anything like that, because the reaction from this defense and quotes came out from Danny Gonzalez yesterday that a lot of the defense have a group chat and they were throwing around reporter predictions for the Michigan State game. They were screenshotting and sending those, and there was really only one in that group of texts that that predicted ASU, and that was Rob Werner from Sun Devil Source. And they were kind of using that as motivation, which I love that chip on the shoulder. Use that as motivation however you can. We even saw some of the players coming off the field calling out various media that they had chosen against the Sun Devils. And while ASU, I think some of those players can be upset for not getting picked to win, that's the response you need to give if you don't like it. That defensive performance against Michigan State, that's the best response you can give to have media members start to predict games going your way. Because look, as a member of the media, I want every football program in Arizona not even to do well, but just to be relevant and to have these interesting storylines, and dropping games usually doesn't equate to that. So I always want relevance. And I know a lot of media members are going to give, they're trying to inform the public, they're trying to give the best knowledge that they can to do that. And sure, players are going to either react poorly to that or call media members out, but just show us on the field. And that's exactly what the Sun Devils did against Michigan State, especially on defense when you had, just ASU shutting the door. And it didn't matter that there were young guys out there. ASU out Michigan State. That's what they did on Saturday. So I think it's going to be a good game here on Saturday. I'll be there covering it for Sports 360 AZ. It's just incredible the poise that Jaden Daniels had. I rewatched that last drive where they were able to finally get it in the end zone. And it was 4th and 13. It just looked like, ho-hum. Just going to take this one for 15. No problem. It's all good. Oh, penalty backs us up. Ah, it's fine. Whatever. Like, just at times I want to check for a pulse on that QB because he's just so just poker face, just ready to go, locked in. It's encouraging that the offensive line played well enough. Yes, they didn't put up a lot of points, but they put the defense in a position to go make plays and make sure that Michigan State didn't score points. And I think that's going to be kind of the name of the game for this team as well, kind of moving forward, especially as they're still figuring out the offensive line. It looks like they made a ton of progress. Those changes that they made, moving Cole Cabral back to center, I think was the right move. But they're still going to be young players, and there's going to be a lot of this when you have young players playing at a Power 5 conference and having a schedule moving forward that's Colorado at Cal, hosting Washington State at Utah. That's going to be a rough stretch. We're going to see some up and down from the Sun Devils in that. But I think they've shown a lot already, and I think that this is definitely helping the recruiting pitch, because you have top guys that are looking at this program and it's like, hey, this time next year, you want to be, Jordan Curley catching balls. You want to be Nolan Matthews. You want to be along the offensive line, Donovan West, any of those guys on the defense. They still have a very young linebacking core, but they're still getting freshmen in there in the secondary. You have Chase Lucas moving on, potentially. Kobe Williams? Those are some seasoned guys that could be making their way. I think that this has set up incredibly well a season and a season and a quarter in the Herm Edwards era. I did not think this is how it was going to go. But they've done a tremendous job, but obviously need to keep it going, opening it up against Pac-12 play. I think the Pac-12 South is going to be real muddy this year. I think there are a lot of really just solid teams across the board. and you're going to be splitting hairs between a Colorado and a Utah and a USC, and UCLA may surprise you for a game, Arizona, and then, of course, the Sun Devils. Arizona, I was down there last week against Texas Tech, and you can see the progress they've made. Yeah, it's not quite the high-flying, putting up 56 a game against Texas Tech or anything like that. But when you don't have to run the ball in the fourth quarter, you're doing something, or you don't have to pass the ball, I should say, you're doing something right. That means the run game's really working, and it really worked, and it totally demoralized Texas Tech. And they did that without J.J. Taylor, who is arguably one of the he is one of the best running backs in the conference, and they were still able to accomplish that. The defense is making strides, and we'll see how they react as well. You know, for as rough of a start to the year that they had, you know, how different do they feel going into their second bye week already than their first one after that loss to Hawaii, and they had to just kind of sit on it and wait for NAU. Now they have a bye week. They're going to host UCLA, then all on the road at Colorado. I think that they're in a pretty good spot to put themselves right in the middle of the Pac-12 South as well. So this is going to be, I've used this analogy before, I feel like this is just going to be a Pac-12 South where there are pool basketball games where you splash your opponent, and then there are games where you try to drown your opponent. I feel like this year with the Pac-12, it's going to be just grab them and just throw them under the water. It's going to be, I think it's going to get real muddy this year. So coming up next, soundbite of the week, Mike Leach. We're going to kick it off with that and then break down and analyze what he had to say. That's coming up next on the Brad Sussman Show. Mike Leach did not disappoint in his latest press conference. He was asked to rank where the Pac-12 mascots could fight, who would win in that fight if it was a big battle royale. Devin Henry, roll that tape.
First of all, what kind of mythical powers does a Sun Devil have? We've got to consider that. I'm going to say the Wildcat's out. The Trojan, does he have a horse or is he on foot? Does he have a bow and arrow or just his sword? The Bruin, definitely formidable. Another bear up there at Cal. The tree, I imagine that tree's going to get chopped down. Unless we're going to go with a bird and somebody might get pecked or something, I don't know. The duck might lose interest and just fly away and get out of there, which may be good advice under the circumstances. The husky, no chance. The beaver... Well, we'll see how long that beaver can hold his breath. The Ute, again, we're back to, is he on horseback? Does he have a bow and arrow? Did he trade for a rifle? I mean, you know, because if that Ute's got a rifle, there's some definite problems. You know, you'd have to get one of those Harry Potter activists to read up on how you kill a Sun Devil, because there's a lot of outside stuff there. Just as far as a beast alone... a buffalo's going to be pretty hard to tangle with. I mean, a buffalo's utterly outstanding. Did I leave any of them out? The cougar will find a way. Clear-minded and crafty, a combination of stay out of harm's way and attack when you get your chances or your openings.
So you know how ASU used reporter predictions as motivation? I think UCLA needs to use that tape as motivation. Washington State taking on UCLA this week. And just note the amount of focus that Mike Leach and effort put on with that question. And yes, it's every single week there are questions like that, and he just goes in depth on it. But if you need to get motivated, UCLA, I would utilize that. We're going to bring in Devin Henry, who is doing a lot on the other side of the glass, running the board, producing for me. This guy does a little bit of everything, so appreciate all of his help. Devin, a lot to unpack with this. And this was the segment I was looking forward to going into this show. What do you think of Coach Leak's interpretations?
I appreciate so much. He's thinking about this so hard. It looks like he's sitting there having a headache, trying to throw every team in there, evaluating what every single... And the fact, like, I would have taken Sun Devil as just, like, a demon, a devil. He went as far to go, hold on, guys, that's a mythical creature. Let's go read up. We got to do some research. I'm like, whoo. Very first sentence, you know he's doing some homework on this. We need a follow-up eventually, right?
Well, yeah, and I feel qualified to talk about this because for two reasons. Number one, my claim to fame my high school senior year, second semester, I made a teacher bracket of who would win in a fight. And I should have been focusing on AP Trig or whatever class I was in, but I was doing that because I decided not to take the AP test. That was in the second hour of the day. By the time it was the fourth hour, I was walking to my next class, and a teacher I didn't have walked up to me and was like, hey, I heard you had me as a 7. Why am I not at least a 5 seed? I was like, okay, you're terrified. So that kind of took over the school. So I feel like I can kind of mix with this. Also, I've been a mascot on multiple occasions.
Same.
Target's back-to-school event, I was Bullseye the dog. So
nice.
I feel like I know the mascot mindset. So let's cut through this. I have four tiers of where we're at. And again, the big question is, does a Sun Devil have mythical powers? Because if we're going off the intro video for ASU, Sparky can be as big as a building.
Yep.
He can conjure up a haboob.
Yep.
He can step on buses.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a power or not, but yes.
I mean, he has enough oomph just
so
to
can
like
Ant-Man when he's giant.
That's true. That's true. His pitchfork exudes electricity.
Yeah.
And when he throws it down.
I presume fire as well. He is a Sun Devil, so
you would think so. So if we're going to go mythical power, I think we also have to give the Ute some weapons, the USC Trojan,
correct,
a horse and some weapons. Should the important question, is a Sun Devil a mythical being or what you originally interpreted them as?
And also, if it's not a mythical creature, you still have to take into account that there are very few beings on or off this planet who can correctly and effectively use a pitchfork.
That's true.
If Sparky is one of them,
you got some trouble.
Exactly. So does that beat a Ute with a rifle? Does that beat a Trojan with a bow and arrow? So right off the bat right there. And if a cougar does pounce on something with a ginormous pitchfork, does it even matter if he has mythical powers to that point if the coug does not get the right opening?
That is all fair. That's why we're having this debate.
Exactly.
So here are the tiers I have. If we're going mythical powers for ASU, for the Sun Devil, ASU, Colorado, the Buffalo, and the Cal Golden Bear, tier number one.
Okay.
Tier number two, UCLA Bruin, the Utah Ute, the USC Trojan.
Makes sense.
Tier number three, you have a Wildcat, a Husky, and a Cougar. Predatory animals, but if you're going up against a bear or a buffalo,
you're done.
I don't know how much. And then the bottom three, pretty much the state of Oregon, a duck, a beaver, and I think the only thing a beaver can beat is a tree, which is Stanford.
That's true. Stanford's last automatically.
Yeah. So
you lost the beaver.
Yeah.
You're done.
You are literally the biggest weakness to a beaver. So that's kind of where I have it right now. And I also, I did a lot of Googling last night on sizes of animals, who would win in a fight. I literally typed in, who would win in a fight between a buffalo and a grizzly bear? Because that's essentially what a Cal Golden Bear is. And Answers.com gave me, a grizzly bear wouldn't dare mess with a bison, bull, or cow. And that's a bison bull or a bison cow, not bison, comma, bull, comma, or cow.
Yeah, whatever.
If you like the Oxford comma. When on the attack, a charging bison can and will gore a bear with its horns, not to mention crush the bear's ribs with its head. Sounds pretty gruesome.
Fair.
A bear can try to get at the neck, but with all that fur, it will be in the way and will come away with more injuries than he or she intended. A grizzly will steal and kill a bison calf, but only if the calf ventures far from his mother and from the safety of the herd. So I think that automatically puts a buffalo above a grizzly bear. A Bruin is a brown bear, which is slightly smaller than the golden bear. So,
okay.
A Ute with a rifle, a Trojan with a sword, bow and arrow, and a horse versus a Sun Devil, a buffalo, and a grizzly bear. Who do you think is coming out of that one?
I mean, I just feel lucky because ASU's mascot used to be an owl. So,
owls are mean, though.
They're mean, but I ain't going to be like, here's a buffalo.
Right, yeah.
Have fun.
It wouldn't. I think depending on the size of a cougar or a wildcat, like an owl could do some damage.
Yeah,
but yeah, I would put that right in about.
It might beat the tree and the beaver.
I think it could do some damage to a Ute and a Trojan.
It could. That's a good point.
Depending
maybe
on
not
how
the Trojan, because the Trojan has armor, I'm sure.
How good? That's true. How good the aim is of the various humans in this bad boy. I think if we're going non-mythical, I think you have to go the buffalo.
Yeah.
I don't
that's
even
fair
think
enough.
That.
I still think Sparky is still up there, though, because of, like I mentioned, with just a pitchfork.
A pitchfork,
if you can
yeah.
use a pitchfork well, that's going to probably get you past the Trojan and the Ute, and probably even the bear, too. If it's like, is it like a boomerang pitchfork, and you can like throw it at the golden bear, and it
like,
comes, I know, it's probably not.
I don't think it's like a trident. I think it's more
what
like.
What about Mjolnir? If it's like Mjolnir, and, you just, and it goes, hit another one. But no, I agree. The buffaloes are mean, man, and they are ginormous.
They're territorial.
And people up by Yellowstone are like, let me take a picture with this buffalo. I'm like, let me get like 10 miles away from that buffalo,
right.
And I'll get up like my telescopic lens
right.
and take a picture.
Yeah.
Like, back up.
The thing with a pitchfork, though, I feel like you need to hit pretty darn perfectly on a buffalo and either bear.
Yeah.
Because if a buffalo charges you, you're going to get one shot at that thing.
You got to get the head. You got to miss the horns.
Yes.
It'll ricochet off the horns.
And I don't know. I didn't do enough research on the thickness of the skull or the sharpness of the pitchfork.
That's true, too.
That thing
How
could
old
just,
is that pitchfork?
That thing could just snap off halfway.
Was he ready? Did he sharpen the pitchfork? Did he prep for
yeah,
this?
Yeah, is this
just random? Like they all like bunch of mascots are sitting around at by the Heisman house, and all of a sudden the fight breaks out. Like, are you ready to go?
Yeah, is this like Hunger Games where they just wake up in whatever environment they are, or is this like Anchorman where everyone kind of comes with their own weapons, like ready to go? That's my other question. If we're going mythical, I think, look, if Sparky can be as big as a building, I think it's not really going to matter. It's going to be a pretty quick fight. But if we're going non-mythical, I think it's got to be the buffalo.
Yeah.
And unless the bear can surprise it and, you know, get through that fur and kind of take care of business. If the buffalo just starts, like, picking off the duck, the beaver right off the bat, can the bear instantly come from behind and try to...
And he got a question, too. Are there alliances? So if the Cal Golden Bear...
That's true.
...and the Washington Husky team up, like... Or maybe they all hate each other because it's Pac-12 action.
I was going to say, yeah. Does the Pac-12 North ride together? Does the Pac-12
exactly.
South ride together? Or is it... Yeah, is there bad blood? I would think it'd be more bad blood than anything. And also, now that I'm thinking about it, this fight has to happen after midnight. For Pac-12 After Dark,
like, obviously.
It has to.
Thank you. Correct.
So yeah.
And that puts the beaver at more of a disadvantage because of how dark it is. Poor guy.
That's true. Yeah, is there water around?
Yeah. To be honest, a tree could probably do better than a beaver could at night with no water.
Does the tree...
How big is the tree?
Can the tree move?
Can the tree... That's a no. That'd be a mythical tree.
It's a...
And the Stanford Cardinal does not have a mythical tree.
I don't know. They're smart out there. They could figure out a way to make a mobile.
That's true.
Is it like
is it
an
a smart
ent?
Tree?
Yeah. Is it like an ent from? Is that the what it is from Lord of the Rings? Like the massive
tree
dudes? Yeah. They have to have some biomedical study going on of moving trees.
Where are they fighting? Are there multiple trees? Do you know which tree is the Stanford tree? Are you just cutting down random trees, not knowing which one it is?
Yeah.
They all take each other out. Boom. Stanford tree wins.
Yeah. Are you doing this in Tempe where it's more likely to see palm trees?
And you go, hey,
and
look.
That Stanford tree would
it's
really
a pine
stick
tree.
Out. Yeah.
That doesn't work.
Or are you in Palo Alto or the Pacific Northwest? Yeah. If you're up in you know, Seattle or mm-hmm. or Eugene.
It could be any tree.
It's yeah, just hiding it. That's the Hunger Games strategy of just like, just sit this one out. Maybe have to fall on one guy, one beaver, and take him out. So
I can't find any mythical powers that a Sun Devil has because there's literally no articles about that question since like 2 days ago.
I Googled the similar question. Yeah. There's actually a
which I don't
weather
know if a Sun Devil is in Harry Potter. I think that Coach Leach might have been guessing there, like mythical creature will go Harry Potter.
I think he was taking a swing. I did see that there is a weather phenomenon that's a sun devil, where it's kind of it's similar from what I gathered, similar to like a solar flare that can happen. So that's another
wipe out the cell phone usage.
Yeah,
can't call for help.
Yeah, dehydrate everyone.
Can't call the antelopes from the mountain west over to come and help you out.
Yeah,
if you're in trouble.
Do you have you know, like it's a bowl game, you know, you have your usual pairings of like Pac-12, Big 12. Can you get a Longhorn to come in and help you out?
Exactly.
Can you get a cowboy? Who knows? We've spent a lot of time on this, so.
I think it's worth it.
Yeah.
There needs to be a follow-up with Coach Leach somewhere. And does this expand to the full NCAA, make it like a March Madness kind of thing?
I think, I mean, we have a lot of friends at the Pac-12 network. I think you could kind of do something Pac-12 Media Day.
Yeah.
Figure this out.
And this can't be a fan vote, okay? It can't be one of those fan vote brackets. It is let's get experts in the house and let's study what would happen if X, Y, and Z happened. We got to set up the rules and everything.
Again, looking at you, Stanford, we want to see CGI simulations of
this. There we go.
Obviously, we're not going to throw a cougar out in the middle of media day. That would be chaos. We're not animals, but...
They're animals. Let's get some
simulations going on this, and I think, you know, we can do that. You know, NFL Network does a lot of analytics. Let's mm-hmm. let's put it on them. Pro Football Focus, what's going on? So we are going to wrap up the show. Coming up next, not really sure where we're going to go from this, but we are wrapping it up. That's coming up next on the Brad Sesmatt Show. Wrapping up a fun and weird Brad Sesmatt Show here on a Wednesday. I'm Jordan Hamm and Devin Henry on the other side of the glass, producing, directing, doing just about everything. I'm just talking. Appreciate all of his help today. I think we off air, Devin afterwards says, I think we made some progress on that Pac-12 battle royale. And I tend to agree. And we haven't gotten negative tweets yet. So we'll see. We'll see when the podcast drops. Who the heck knows? Looking ahead now for the Arizona Cardinals, 0-1-1. And I feel like most of the fan base feeling pretty good about the Cardinals right now. I think the defense has played better than expected. You went against a buzzsaw that is the Baltimore Ravens offense. And yeah, things got moving really quickly. And Lamar Jackson did what Lamar Jackson does. And had a huge game rushing, huge game passing. But the team remains competitive. And that's kind of where we are right now with this team. Improvements have been made. Are they going to be battling for an NFC West title this year? Wouldn't think so. Next year, potentially. We'll see. But with the Rams, the Seahawks, a improved 49ers team, and a healthy Jimmy G 49ers team, all you can really ask for is to see a team be in the game towards the end of the game and have some opportunities to go out and win that game. And for both games so far, the Arizona Cardinals have accomplished that. And inside the five, inside the red zone, there's been some stagnant offense. That's the storyline to me with this offense. We've seen that Kyler Murray can move the ball. David Johnson can do a pretty good job in this system moving the ball as a receiver, as a running back. Christian Kirk, I thought, had a really good game on Sunday. Larry Fitzgerald, I don't know what that guy is doing to stay as athletic as he has for so long, but he continues to just amaze people and amaze me, honestly. And I think... But once you get inside that 20, that's the next step in this offense. And I think Cardinal fans are frustrated with where the missed opportunities. Because I think look, it's not that crazy to think a couple, they're able to punch it in a couple different times. Cardinals are 2-0. It's not in an alternate universe where we could say three plays go differently. Three play calls change, whatever it may be. This is a 2-0 Cardinals team. That's pretty wild to think about. Think about how much this state would be. Think about the Red Sea for that. Like, that would be incredible. They have a chance to get their first win against the Carolina Panthers. Looks like Cam Newton. The big question is, will he be available? If you watch that Thursday night game, he did not look like his old self, whether it was back at Auburn or when he was doing really well and one of the best quarterbacks in the league for the Panthers, leading them to a Super Bowl appearance. The offense doesn't look quite right, and it might be because of Cam and Cam's health and what he's been going through. Kyle Allen could be getting the start. And all of a sudden, that's probably a pretty different game plan for this defense, because you won't be having the mobility. Even Cam Newton's limited mobility with his injuries right now, he's still a threat. You still have to address it. Kyle Allen, that's probably not going to happen. The crazy thing with this, if Kyle Allen starts, go back to, I believe, 2015, Texas A&M? Kyle Allen, Kyler Murray, in a quarterback controversy, throwing to Christian Kirk. And here we are in the NFL. Two of them on the Cardinals, one on the Panthers. A couple wild paths to get where we are. Christian was the only one that stuck with Texas A&M, but became a second-round pick. Kyle Allen had to go to Houston and had his fair share of struggles, to whether it be opportunities on the field or whatever it may be, but he stuck with an NFL team and got a start last year and played in some games, and here he is. Like, there's no one way to do this. Kyler Murray had to transfer, got drafted in baseball in the top 10. His only real season of playing football at Oklahoma, won the Heisman. Like, how... those paths are so wild that they're all going to be on the same field on Sunday. That's just absolutely bananas to me. Going to be an interesting one. See what the buzz is like back at home in Glendale. A lot of curiosity. Some boo birds at the beginning of that game against the Lions. We'll see after a hard-fought battle against a really good Ravens team where they narrowly escaped. The Ravens did. We'll see what the buzz is like and how the fan base is doing. Kyler Murray has put up impressive numbers, but just haven't been able to quite punch it in and get it over the top to get those wins. We'll see if that happens on Sunday. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Brad Sesmatt Show. Thanks again to Devin Henry for making sure this thing stays afloat. I'm Jordan Hamm.